No. Now, let me see. 17, 18 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock. 51552 is our text. And here's a question. Have you ever been out with your friends all hanging around together and realised that every single person is on their phone? Answer, of course you have. Texting, updating the Facebook status, replying to emails, looking at YouTube, whatever. Anything but talking to each other. Unless, of course, they're pointing out stuff that they have seen online. Well, anyway, a new book aims to change all that. It's called 101 Things Instead of Playing on Your Phone. 101 Things Instead of Playing on Your Phone. Giving us tips and ideas of what to do away from a smartphone, because we've reached the point where we need to be told what to do. Ciara King, have you reached the point where you need to be told what to do?
100%.
Right, okay.
And I think it's also a really sad state of affairs that, you know, when there's a book released giving you ideas of, you know, things to do instead of playing on your phone.
Yeah, first of all, is the book any good?
No, it's not. It's absolutely, it's the, you know.
Well, I hope Ilka Heinemann is not listening, whoever she or he is.
Yeah, it's, you know, some of the things in it are helpful, and then other things, like, I'll give you an example of some of the things, Dave, I don't
Listen,
think.
I'll put the kettle on and you fire away.
For example, okay, number one, write your own bedtime story.
Shut up.
I swear to God, there's one in it and it says, write your own bedtime story. I don't know, do people have time? I think people have very busy lives. I think, you know, people have stressful lives. They don't have time to write themselves a bedtime story before they go to
bed.
By
the way, letters. Does anybody write letters anymore? My mother was a fantastic letter writer.
I can't remember the last time I wrote
20,
a letter.
20, 30, 40, 50 pages. Basildon Bond, every time. You always knew what to get her for Christmas.
They're amazing. I think people should. Actually, one of the things in the book as well says, why don't you send a postcard? When was the last time you sent a postcard?
Yeah, actually, I'll tell you a funny thing about that. I just go back and Mrs. Rowan, her friend in Cork, and she used to write literally 40-page letters to her. And she could have phoned her. There were phones. But she wrote fantastic letters, you know. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine somebody getting a coffee table book these days, like the kind of the texts of Maud Gonne or something? No, it'd be the letters. It's you have to have the real deal.
A really good book, actually. I don't know if you've ever heard
of it. What was the question you just asked me?
I said, when was the last time you sent a postcard?
Yeah,
because
okay,
that's actually
enough.
One of the things in the book as well. Was like, why didn't you send somebody a postcard?
Yeah.
I can't even remember the last time I was on holiday. Did I send a postcard?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Thinking, no,
so
don't
that's
think
one of the useful ones in the book. But there's other ones that are absolutely ridiculous. Like, think about what animal you would like to be reincarnated.
Can I just say, sorry, a useful one is to send a postcard. Is it?
Pardon?
Ciara, you need to go on holiday more often.
I know, I definitely do. I definitely do. But so other things in the book as well. Think about what animal you would like to be reincarnated as. Like, these aren't exactly helpful things, you know, when you're trying to get off.
Have you seen the recent Colin Farrell movie? The lobster.
So you'd like to be a lobster, do you?
That's what he wanted to be.
Yeah. No, we really are. We have come to the stage as a society where we need crutches and books like this to tell us, because we actually are that addicted, you know. I don't know if you ever heard of an American photographer called Eric Pickersgill.
I have not.
No, he's done this He did this amazing exhibition called Removed, and it kind of aimed to show the addiction to technology and hyperconnectivity that we all have or whatever. So you had these gorgeous black and white shots of like families hanging out together, of lovers hanging out together, of crowds, and everybody's on their phone. And what he did was he removed the phones from all the photographs, and it's just a load of people staring down at their hand. So, you know, it's brilliant. Check it out. It's called Removed. You'll find it online. But I think I gave the example like this before as well. Remember Ed Sheeran played, and I remember I talked about all the teenagers standing in front, you know, basically watching him through their iPhone and watching them through their iPad. It is definitely time. Whether this book is the right thing for a lot of people, I don't know, but it's definitely time for people to get off their phone.
Yeah, there is a thing where an incredibly famous person here in Ireland, who I know as a rock person, and when they're on tour, people come from Italy and Brazil and all the rest, and they hang around the house trying to look in. And that they used to kind of climb up the wall. They don't climb up walls anymore to look in. All they see looking over the wall from the people living in the house is
phones
and stuff.
It's
have to take a picture to prove that they were there. It's more important to bring that picture back to prove to people they were there than to experience the thing that they're at.
Do you know what? I went to Slane in 1999, right? We had one disposable camera between a group of us. We have one photo of all of us at Slane that day, just one photo. And I remember absolutely every single thing that happened at that gig, because I was standing there taking
it all. There's the biggest life lesson that certainly could be in this book from, what's her name again?
Ilka Heinemann, yeah.
It is a she, is it?
I don't think there's an awful lot of life lessons that you'll get out of this book now, if I'm going to be dead
honest. Who played Slane in 99? I'm trying to remember.
Robbie Williams headlined Placebos, Happy Mondays, David.
Because Robbie Williams had played the year before with The Verve.
Yeah.
He'd supported
it. Yeah, he did, and he headlined the following year. It was absolutely
brilliant.
I have
an amazing story about that gig, actually, that I should tell you sometime. Because for an hour after he left the stage, oh my God, I could tell you the most amazing story.
Well, you have to now.
No, I'm
maybe
not
we'll, maybe
no,
we'll
I
wait
can't.
Until we're off
I'd
mic.
Be implicating others yeah. in it. It's just great.
Oh, bro, well, you definitely have to tell me now. You definitely have to tell me later.
Hi, Keith.
But I decided to kind of, I went through the book and I was like, oh, a lot of these aren't, you know, people aren't going to do a lot of these things. So I decided to come up with a list of my own, things that people should do. And actually...
Have you dismissed and ignored the
I
book
have
already?
Completely. Completely. Oh, honestly, go through it there yourself. I'll give you another example of what the book said to do. Draw a selfie of yourself.
Draw a selfie of yourself.
Smile at someone and see if they smile back. Oh. See, can you wriggle your little toe? Right.
Okay, now I see.
Okay, so are you getting my point here?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It's a lovely little book.
Just a matter of interest, being on your phone, does it affect your sleep?
100%. I mean, because phones emit a blue light, all right, and they hit some part of your eye, which is part of your circadian rhythm, which basically means that you stay awake.
Yeah, this is going to sound really, really how thick I am. But why is it my blue light flashes a lot at night? Why does it not flash in the daytime? I'm sure it's a basic law of physics, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Why isn't it flashing now? Oh my God, it is! Sorry, I just don't see it because it's daylight. That's really sad.
Or maybe it's a good thing because you're not looking at your phone, you know. It does. It completely messes with your sleep. And here's the problem as well with trying to get away from your phone. There's an app for absolutely everything now. So even when you're trying to get away from your phone, you're using an app on your phone to try and get away from it, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Let's say you want to meditate. You're going onto your phone to use the meditation app. So you're still technically, you know, using your phone. If you go out for a walk, if you go out for a jog, there's now all, you know, different types of apps for that. Again, not getting away from your phone.
Yeah, for those who think that this is all maybe slightly trivial in that, there's a generation out there, no doubt about it, between the ages of, 10 and 40 maybe, that literally have the phone in their hands all day long looking at it.
They reckon by 2020 there's going to be something like 6.1 billion people in this world using smartphones.
Really?
Yeah, I think the statistics in 2015, I think, is something like 1.91 billion people are using smartphones.
Yeah,
so
I presume that's an awful lot, is it?
Yes, it is.
Because the thing in the paper this morning, here it is, look, here it is. Yeah, it's in the Examiner this morning. Look, on page whatever. And it's a huge three-page investigation. Apple was Steve Jobs' company, but now his single unifying vision is being shattered, says Richard Fitzpatrick. Look at that huge big picture of a whole page of a shattered phone. Is Apple losing its magic touch?
I don't think so.
All right, fair enough. Okay, I really don't think so. Obviously, I'm wrong. Okay.
No, I think that iPhone addiction and smartphone addiction is up there with drugs, alcohol and any other type of addiction that a human being can give. Because here's the thing now, we are conditioned into going on our phone and getting likes and getting retweets and getting favourites. And it's, you know, whether we know it or not, this is creating in us the serotonin and this dopamine, and we're happy with ourselves. And it's the exact same thing that happens when you're into your drugs or your drink or, you know, all that
Fair
sort of
enough.
Stuff. So it is an
Professor.
Addiction. Professor Kira speaks. But anyway, I came up with kind of a list of alternative things.
Sorry,
to do,
yes,
maybe.
Kira King's originally her own instead of Heinemann.
Bear with me with this one. This one's kind of crazy. Read a book. Like, seriously, sit down and read a book.
Wow.
Instead of, because I know a lot of people get into bed at night. I know I used to do it. First thing I do after being on my phone for most of the evening was get into bed and then scroll through my phone again. And the next thing, it's an hour and a half later and you don't understand why you're tired, you know, the next morning. But if you try and just focus and read a book, and a lot of people have said to me as well, they've gone back to college, they've gone back to studying, and they find that they can't concentrate. And here's why we can't concentrate, is because we're scrolling now. We're not even reading full paragraphs. We're scrolling on a tablet or an iPad or a smartphone, and we're not taking in the words. So actually sit down and read a book and take in the words, like, properly.
Wow, Professor, how radical.
I know, I'm sounding very professional here, but I should
absolutely
take my own advice. Here's another one. Tune into something that everybody else is watching. Now, I know you can say, well, watching Netflix or watching television, like, that's the same thing. You know, you're getting off your phone, but you're going from one medium to another. But here's the thing, like, everybody at the minute was watching Making a Murderer. Did you see it?
I did.
Yeah, I watched the whole series, everybody was talking about it. And when I met up with my friends, instead of us being on our phone, we were talking about the series and we were asking each other questions and we were like, what did you think? Did you think he was guilty? What did you think of, you know, the prosecutor? What did you think of that sheriff and all the rest? So, and I'm always one of those people, like, when everybody was watching Breaking Bad, I was kind of like, well, I'm not going to watch Breaking Bad because everybody's watching Breaking Bad, you know? And now I find myself 3 years later, I still haven't watched Breaking Bad and I wasn't able to share in that experience, you know, of watching Breaking Bad. I'm not just saying Breaking Bad, I'm talking about any TV series that, you know, is in the kind of popular culture that everybody is watching.
Yeah, I mean, those water cooler moments, you know, the way like some of them are on TV and
that's
you get
it,
an
exactly,
hour a week.
Water cooler. Yeah.
And you get an hour a week. Is anybody doing the hour a week stuff anymore? Just watching the 1 hour?
I don't think so. See, you don't have to do that anymore.
I don't have to, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Although, with every second one of these things has a cliffhanger at the end, and you start getting really kind of drained waiting for the next week.
But here's the thing, now we're conditioned into not having to wait. Yeah. So that's why you hear people have gone on these 6 hour binges of watching Making a Murderer.
But I always think, you know, this thing about spoilers and spoiler alert and all the rest of it, but you can't say this and you can't say that. Like, at what stage? Like, I mean, I think people who've seen a thing are being penalised by not being able to talk about it. Look, tough. You know, you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I know.
So hard look.
That's fair enough. I still don't know what happened at the end of Breaking Bad. So I swear, I still don't know what happened at the end of Breaking Bad. So.
Okay, I'm going to say something about the end of Breaking Bad. It's been on long enough. It's actually kind of disappointing. A lot of people thought it was a really good ending. I didn't. I thought it was a bit dodgy,
really?
Frankly. Yeah, considering how much I had sort of invested in it and thought it was absolutely brilliant. And it was one of the very few series that I've ever been at from the very beginning to saying to people at the first four or five programs, you've got to watch this thing.
Really?
That was back in whatever, 09, 08 or whatever. Okay. And I thought the ending could have been a lot better because the program was great.
All right, okay. Well, anyway. I'll keep that in mind. So, here's another one. This is a bit mad. And you know what? I mentioned this before and I've got a little bit of slagging about it. Do something that you've never done before. Like myself and two friends, we decided that that's how we'd start our January, that we'd do something that all three of us had never done before. So we went to bingo. We went out to a bingo hall in Crumlin. Never been to bingo in our life.
Bingo, fantastic. Tell us about bingo.
We rocked into this bingo hall. We stuck out like a sore thumb. There was.
Can I be? First of all, you don't have a blue ring. Oh, sorry. No, you don't. Okay, fair enough.
No, I have no blue rings. Okay, no.
Do you have knitting or anything like that?
No. At one stage, I kid you not, in between the different bingo games, there was two older ladies sitting across from us, and they were knitting away, and they kind of befriended us because they knew we were completely lost.
Yeah.
They told us when the bingo game was about to start. They kept looking over at us, reassuring us that we were on the right page and like doing the right thing and all the rest. But I kind of said to the girls afterwards, I was like, thank God we didn't win anything, because we were the three new girls. They're obviously there every Friday night. You know, it's their locality. Yeah. It's their hood,
let's
say.
But you know what's going to happen? You see the papers this morning. I mean, the headlines of every single tabloid, obviously, and it's in every paper. Some Irish person has won the third biggest prize in the history of Irish money, which is half the Euro lotto. Somebody in France won 66 million and somebody in Ireland won 66 million. My new best friend, by the way.
Oh,
so
God.
That person has won the 66 million. It mightn't even be up out of bed yet.
I know. Imagine. I didn't do the Euro Million, so it's not me.
And you're going to find out that they just bought a Quick Pick. It's the first time they ever bought a
God.
Going to annoy in the same people were annoyed at you.
I was saying to the people, I was saying to the gang outside earlier on, I was like, I think you're either destined to win the lotto or you're not, and I definitely don't think that I'm destined to win the lotto. Yeah, no, I do.
Pretty zen, man.
Yeah. Okay, Cormac Battle didn't entertain me at all with it, but anyway.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Here's another one. Be a tourist in your own country.
All right, yeah.
We don't do that enough as Irish people.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, for example...
Are there plenty of places around the country that you haven't been to?
I've never been to the Giant's Causeway.
Right, I've never been to the Giant's. I was just about to say, I've just been about every corner of Ireland at some stage, but I've actually never been to the Giant's Causeway, no.
There you go. Yeah. And it's one of those things that, you know, when we think about going on holiday, we hop on a plane or we go on a boat somewhere, but we don't tour around our own country an awful lot of the time. You know,
yeah.
For different reasons, whatever. And what we don't realise is what is on our doorstep. Like, I know Dublin, I mean, it's a prime example, whatever. This year I went to Glasnevin, I did Kilmainham Jail, you know, I did all the little tours.
Didn't
and
go very far, did you?
No, I didn't. But I really, really enjoyed it. And it was one of those things where, and everybody that I said it to went, oh my God, I've always been meaning to do that.
Yeah.
Well, do it. Get off your phone and head out to a graveyard for the day and have a walk around.
Dr.
You know?
Kira King, such great advice. Keep going. Any more? Forget about 101 things to do instead of playing on your phone.
I think that when it comes to January, a lot of people are forced into getting fit, if I'm going to be deadly honest.
Well, and thank God there's only one day left of that shit.
Oh, that's true, actually. That is true. I think a lot of people are forced into, you know, you have to go for a run. Running's amazing. You'll feel so amazing after your run or whatever.
Yeah.
That's exactly kind of how I feel about it as well.
I'm fine if people would run, but would you just run alone and stop telling me about it?
Exactly. Or stop putting it up on your Facebook page or whatever. As again, get off your phone, you know? But why not try something completely different when it comes to sport? So there's a roller derby team in Limerick.
Lacrosse,
or maybe something as mad as roller skating. Yeah.
Is there any curling happens in Ireland? Is there a curling club?
It's the worst sport of all time. No offence to anybody that's into curling.
If you're good at cleaning floors, you'll be good at it.
It's bizarre. But no, I just want to mention the Limerick Roller Derby team. So that's basically joining a team where you've got, you know, the old school roller skates?
Yeah.
And becoming a part of a team and playing roller derby, and you get to travel all around the country. You get to travel out of the country. Do you believe there's a roller derby World Cup? So this is only becoming popular in Ireland.
Did you ever see the movie? Was it Burt Reynolds in the original, and Nicolas Cage in the second? Nicolas Cage even in the second one, was it? Did you ever see that? They kind of do kill people with roller. That doesn't matter. No.
They kill people with roller skates.
Yeah.
I suppose you could potentially. I guess, but no, it's just something completely different. If you want to take up a sport, I know that the girls down in the Limerick Derby roller derby, they're holding the whole month of February, they're holding a fresh meet event where people who have never roller skated before, who want to get out and try something different, can go and they can try it out. I mean, it's just something different.
All right. By the way, we talked to some of the roller derby girls. I've just remembered we did. I've just been told that we talked to some of the roller derby girls on this show a couple of years back there. So there you are.
Yeah, no, it's becoming really, really popular.
And listen, can I just say there's a few more things I just want to mention. I turned off my phone when I went on holidays last year. Didn't turn it on until I came home. I'm not hugely dependent on my phone to begin with, but it felt great. My head was clearer, not being bombarded with texts and Viber and useless information. There is a thing, all right, just the big question of when you do go away, does anybody leave the phone behind?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I think that's the correct
answer. Because here's the thing, there's Wi-Fi available in hotels and restaurants and everywhere.
Yeah. Who was that just? Oh, sorry, that's the piece of music I played. Sorry. Someone Stevens. Yes, Sufjan. S-U-F-J-A-N. It's about his, what, fifth or sixth album, Carrie and Lowell. It's great. That's from Emma. Another one says from the greatest TV series ever is surely The Wire. It tops Breaking Bad. I'm sure it does. Have to hold my hand up. I've never seen The Wire or The Sopranos.
Never seen The Wire. Yeah, Sopranos is brilliant. You should watch The Sopranos.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's telling me that. Go on. Okay, let's get back to where you were. Yeah, sorry, bingo. I want to go back to bingo.
You want to go back to bingo?
What was it like?
Do you want to come to bingo with me?
It was
a very interesting experience. Yeah. As I said, you know, these ladies are obviously going.
Sounds
every Friday.
Like fun,
massive social event. It was so much crack. It was brilliant fun. Didn't win anything, but as I said, I'm kind of happy that we didn't win anything because we were encroaching on other people's turf an awful lot of the time, you know. But I never thought that I'd go to bingo on Friday night in Crumlin and enjoy it. So, you know.
Yeah, by the way, I'm going to get a text in now saying I interviewed David Chase, who wrote The Sopranos. All right, I did. It's a brilliant interview. Doesn't mean I have to see it. Okay, now, go on. So tell me more. Like, okay, what else would you do or what else are you going to do?
Learn a language. I know what that sounds like. That sounds like a cliche, but like a lot of us haven't gone near languages since school. And like, why not? There's so many different, there's an app that you can use on your computer called Duolingo. And it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. It shows how far kind of learning languages.
Every time you read an article in the paper, there's always something about the Irish guy who learned 40 languages in 10 minutes or something like that. It's always down beside those things that kind of say, you know, 10 people from Balbriggan who are taller than a tree. You got to read that. You know, all those kind of ones. So have you tried that? Would you do it in the car kind of thing? Have the language thing and start mouthing words. And
I'd probably do it in the house during the day, see.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a brilliant CD series that the BBC does.
While you were practicing your curling on the kitchen floor.
Well, I was doing my curling. I was also trying to learn Italian. Yeah. But no, it's something again. It's getting your brain trained, and it's using your brain again instead of, as I said, scrolling on your phone.
Okay, sorry. While you were saying that, you know what I was doing there? I was just looking at
at your phone.
No, I was looking at one of the things that you mentioned there in the book. And it says, can you wiggle your little toe? Instead of looking at your phone, I can't wiggle my little toe. What's that to say about me?
I definitely can't wiggle my little toe either. But why would you waste time sitting there, you know, trying to figure out whether you want to wiggle your little toe or not?
Yeah, you're better off looking at some
bonkers
cats on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. They send someone a postcard. Would you say, what was this here? Here's one. Plan how you would redesign your living room.
No, I mean, that's another productive one. That is another productive one. And also, it gets you out of the house. It gets you designing. It gets you, you know, being creative. And that one I actually agree with. So there's two things in that whole book that I actually do agree with at the same time, you know.
Fair enough.
But two isn't enough, I'm afraid.
Okay, just the be a tourist in your own country, I like all that. Okay, learn a language, I like all that. Is there a thing about anything to do with music or movies that you're allowed to?
Well, rediscover old music. Music that you wouldn't have listened to since you were a kid.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, David Bowie passed away recently over the past, was it 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, three weeks ago at this stage. Yeah.
And obviously I listened to Starman, but I didn't know anything about his old stuff, you know? So I'm back, and unfortunately when it comes to an artist dying, I know that a lot of people jump on that bandwagon and like, oh God, I'm going to listen to David Bowie. But I genuinely did. I went back, I listened to The Chieftains and Van Morrison. I listened, and that, you know, that kind of, that connects you on to like older stuff and other stuff, Sting and the Police, all these old songs and albums, like musical albums as well. I went through a phase there a couple of weeks back of going through like the Judy Garland, the Fred Astaire, the Ginger Rogers, you know, all those old musicals and the soundtracks that go with them.
Had you known them as a kid?
I had, yeah.
Oh, really?
I used to spend an awful lot of my time watching musicals on, you know, RT on a Sunday, you know, afternoon,
were you
much to my poor parents.
You weren't in school plays and singing things and stuff like that, were you?
No. No.
No, right. Okay,
no.
Fair enough. Where did you go to school?
I went to school in Connemara, Clifton Community School.
All right. Clifton Community School. I see. Mm-hmm. Right. Very good. Kira. All right. So rediscover some old music. Then that's a good one. In fact, that's the funny thing is, if there was no more new music from tomorrow onwards, it wouldn't really matter, would it? Because there's so much.
Because we have such a, you know, a back catalogue in fairness of different sorts of music. So
and
there
finally,
you go.
Sport. Do you do anything?
Me, I like running. I like yoga. You know, that sort of stuff. As I said, I mentioned the roller derby. But also take up an interest in a sport. Maybe not curling.
Yeah.
Maybe not curling, as you've suggested.
All right, Kira. Listen, you're back on the radio when? Tomorrow night, is it?
Sunday to Thursday. Is it?
Yeah.
What day? So
it's
Saturday.
Now Saturday morning, 22
minutes. Thanks for letting
me know, guys. To midday. All right, okay. Thanks a million, Kira. You're back on tomorrow. I was just going to say, oh, yes, tomorrow is Sunday. And is tomorrow the last day of February? Oh, the last day of January. No, Monday's the 1st of February, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, it is. Yeah. All right, thanks. Okay, we go for the break. Thanks, Kira. Good luck. Take it easy. Dave Fanning.